Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who's extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of how market conditions are forcing changes in multifamily operations. And joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran. He's also known as the most curious person in multifamily, Moshe Crane, the Director of Marketing and Leasing with Sage Ventures. Welcome, Moshe.
Thanks, Paul. Glad to be here. Glad to be back.
Yeah, you've been on the show before. It was a very, very interesting show with you and Stephanie Anderson with Grace Hill, and I'm glad you were able to make it today. This is something that I think is a lot of people across the country are dealing with based on the current market conditions, how these changes are in those market conditions are causing them to get a little bit more creative. Let's talk a little bit about what those conditions are that are changing. What are you seeing?
Well, the first was COVID disrupted everything and forced us to look in the mirror and see how we operate, how we do things, and why we do things. Then, you know, COVID hopefully is gone, but there was a lot of capital that was sitting on the sidelines for a while and was anxious to get to be placed somewhere. So sales went down a lot in terms of properties trading hands during COVID. And then I would say 2021 was a crazy year in terms of acquisitions. And the first quarter of 2022 has only continued. And with interest rates being low, cap rates are shrinking. So, you know, a few years ago, 2 years ago, not that long ago, when you were buying properties and you had your projected returns of 9% or 8 to 10%, it was easy to make that work. Now with cap rates shrinking, it makes it harder to get that kind of return. I think owners or operators might have even been a little lazy, that things were working so well that they didn't scrutinize and try to find more ways to improve their operations. And now with these kinds of conditions, cap rates being very low, so trying to find more ways to generate returns, and other conditions being, you know, a labor shortage, different changes like that, that who knows what might be next, is forcing operators to really think about how they operate and how they can do better.
And I guess get creative as well in doing that, because as you said, they really, it was almost on autopilot. You know, you make your investment and things go without major issues. You're gonna make a certain return. So what types of things have you seen people try to do to increase that NOI and make up for the fact that the market conditions have changed?
So the first is that what I'm seeing in leasing, there's a lot of talk about centralization, centralized leasing. I'm seeing companies that are, you know, limiting the number of leasing agents and having call centers that they're doing in-house. Some companies are not even doing in-person tours anymore. Again, not because of a COVID issue, but reducing headcount and reducing expenses there. So property that has, you know, 400 units might have had three leasing agents, now has 1.5 because the workload is less. They're not doing in-person tours. They're not even answering the phone most of the time because it's going to the call center first. And so that's reducing headcount. I'm guessing the purpose is that it's reducing expenses to make up ground on returns over there.
And I would think also, and tell me if you've seen this, we've done a couple of episodes on, you know, what people call the Great Resignation, and the fact that it's very, very difficult to find people to fill these positions these days. So maybe the reason the headcounts are lower too could be that they're having troubles filling those positions. Are you seeing any of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the great resignation, the topic there is when it comes to multifamily, there's plenty of people who would be happy to work and happy to work with the salary that companies have been paying leasing. So, you know, people might leave because they want to make more money. That's great. But there's a lot of other positions and people in the talent pool that are making less money that might not be aware of how good a property management career could be. And we've really focused our efforts on creating a training program so that we can hire. It's not rocket science leasing, but it is a science. And if you don't, you just throw people out there, then, you know, what are your odds of that being successful? But if you empower them and you give them exactly what to say, how to say it, a real understanding of the leasing process from a sales perspective, the technical training shouldn't be too complicated either. When you could hire folks that are coming in at on the lower end of the pay range that don't have experience, there's a longer runway and a more likelihood for them to succeed. But yes, if people are just looking for hiring people who have experience at the same pay rate, that talent pool, or the prospects for those positions are definitely harder to find.
And some of the other things that I think that are causing the fact that these market conditions change, or the need for creativity, is whether it's the a cause from the pandemic or a cause from the fact that people have left the industry. A lot of the on-site teams are stressed. And what do you make of that?
Yes, on-site teams are definitely stressed. There's more to do, and often there's less people to do it. Hiring, yes. And I mean, I don't deal so much with maintenance at all, but I couldn't create a maintenance training program. But if someone could create talent with people who had no experience, a maintenance school, university, something like that, I think would be a $1 million business, actually a lot more. But yes, the on-site teams are being maxed out. And so when you're short on people and the amount of work that has to be done is almost endless, it creates friction and it creates stress and definitely less productivity and less happiness. And that could be causing people to rethink, like, do I really want to be doing this or not?
Yeah, and one of the things when you talk about the maintenance teams, you know, one of the big complaints I think there has always been in that position from those individuals is the fact that they're on call all the time and they could go to another industry or another type of job where they can use those same skills in construction or something like that, but where they're not on call on the weekends and they can enjoy their time off without having to worry about coming into a property to fix some type of an issue with an air conditioner or a plumbing issue or whatever it may be. So that's another thing that I've heard about, the maintenance issues that they have, and I don't know how to solve that.
Yeah, I think the approach for anything in that regard is to break down things into parts. So I had this weird thought process. I went out to lunch with my father and we met at the restaurant. And while I was there, so there was the person who was greeting, they were answering the phone, and then we had to wait to be seated until they got off the phone. And then when we were sitting and they were taking our order, you could hear the phone was ringing at the front desk and there was nobody who was answering it. So, and then you have the person who's going to cook the food, serve the food. And so you break down the different things that have to happen. So when it comes to maintenance, okay, so you could break it down. So you have work orders, you have emergency calls. And so then you have this category of after hours. So then you don't have to like change your whole system. You just have to figure out how to solve for after hours, whether that's outsourcing after hours, whether that's having some sort of service that's answering the phone for that. Then you can deal with that issue, that category, versus trying to completely change everything. So when it comes to leasing, so leasing folks have a lot on their plate and their primary focus should be on leasing and the sales part of their aspect of their job. But a lot of them are dealing with packages, they're dealing with residents, So that makes it harder for them to answer the phone. So if you could eliminate, you could resolve the package issue that they don't have to have any involvement in the packages, you're going to free up time of theirs now. Now they can focus more of their time on what they're supposed to be doing, their primary role. If answering the phone becomes difficult, so then there could be a solution just for answering the phone. But so if you go through this process and you break it down to by category or, you know, need, then you'll understand what problems and then what solutions could potentially address that one thing versus trying to completely change how everything is done.
All right. Well, we're going to break it here for this segment. We're going to be back with our next segment of this episode right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Well, we're back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. We're discussing the topic of how market conditions are forcing changes in multifamily operations. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily veteran. He's also known as the most curious person in multifamily, Moshe Krame, the Director of Marketing and Leasing with Sage Ventures. I do want to remind our listeners before we get back into the topic, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Moshe, we talked a lot in the first segment about the conditions with the cap rates being the way they are and interest being low and how that's forcing multifamily folks to get creative and in order to keep the and protect their NOI. One of the things that obviously is something that has really become in the forefront, I think, more rapidly because of the pandemic, was some of the technologies that are available in multifamily. And the reason I say that is because when I go to the national shows or the regional shows in past years, and I would talk to people who are visiting the booths of the technology prior to the pandemic, they liked the technology, but they said, oh, it's going to be a while before we have to adopt anything or before we really adopt it. But someday it'll be good. Well, then all of a sudden the pandemic hits and all those technologies that were on the back burner moved to the front burner. What did you see?
So there's a lot of noise in the tech space. And what I mean by there's, you know, it feels like every week or month there's a new company that's in the industry and trying to disrupt or change or just, you know, grow a business. And it becomes very challenging to how do you vet that? How do you even approach it? And so I actually had a great conversation with Gary Gregory.
Yeah.
And the way he put it is like, first you have to identify what your needs are and what your goals are. And so, you know, in the last segment we discussed like breaking down the different parts of the operation, when breaking down the different parts of leasing, breaking down the different parts of maintenance, how you break it down, and then you understand where either weak points are, where problems are, and then your goal becomes to fix those things. So when it comes to leasing, there's a lot on the leasing team's plate. So it's things that are taking up their time. So if we could remove things from their plate, we're going to be giving them more time to focus on leasing. So now that becomes an approach like, okay, so let me look at the different tech products, the different companies, which can help alleviate time or tasks that are not core to leasing so that they can be maximizing in their time. So that I think is a great approach for looking at tech. Additionally, there is a history in our industry where you have these companies that will start up. They'll be one product, one service, and they'll grow to a certain size. And then one of these big property management software companies will bring them in house, you know, acquire them. And so that's where I mean, where there's noise, where there are companies who know that. So, and that's like their whole goal. Like, hey, let me start a company. If I could grow big enough, one of these property management softwares is going to acquire me. And, you know, they're not necessarily a great business, or they're not a great value add to the industry. And, you know, I don't blame them for trying to build a business to get acquired and make money. Why not? But from an operational side, is a company this one-off product that is eventually going to be acquired? Is that going to force me to, you know, only work with a certain property management software? How it integrates, like that's a big thing about how it fits with others. And so those are definitely things to consider. And it's challenging to really know what's out there. Often, you know, the best, you know, how you have to find that out now is by going to a conference, and those could be pricey. And if you're on the East Coast, they're not as often. They seem to all be on the West Coast, aside from the local associations. But yeah, there's a lot out there that can definitely help the operations, and I think that companies should be taking these things more seriously.
Yeah, we've got about 6 minutes left in this segment. Some of the technologies that are out there, you know, it seems like that they have had an issue, well, not an issue, but one of the issues could be that you've got so many different softwares to do different things, and it's very difficult to be able to be up to date on how to use each one of them. Do you see anything coming down the road in the future for being able to more normalize all of them to where they're under one umbrella, or is there something out there like that already?
Great point. And I think that is why, what I described before, the history of the industry is where you have these property management softwares that will acquire these smaller companies so they could put that in their toolkit, because there's this mentality that, hey, everything in one place is easier. But when you start piecing together a lot of different products, they don't always work so well together, and it's not always so smooth, and they're not even always the best of what there is in the marketplace. So integration is a huge piece. You know, someone who's coming out with one product. I heard this from a VC that described this very well. You have institutional companies and then platform companies and then product companies. So a property management software is like a platform type of company where a lot of things fit into that versus, you know, a chatbot, which is just one tool. And so yes. That definitely you want ease of use, and you don't want things to be complicated, and you don't want to have 500 different sign-ins and, you know, have a customer success team with 10 different companies that you have to work with. So you definitely want things to be easier and smoother, but having everything in one place is not always the best solution. I'm super intrigued. I don't know a lot about Entrata, but the fact that they're building everything in-house and they don't take this classic approach that some of the other property management softwares have of acquiring companies, they're building everything in-house is super interesting, because they're avoiding all this, like some of these challenges that some of these other the property management softwares are having. So in summary, yes, the ease of use is a big part. Everything together is easier, but not always better.
We got about 3.5 minutes left in this segment. Tell me, is there some type of technology that you have not seen available yet that you think would be something that would be a benefit to people in the multifamily industry? Is there some type of a task?
I posted about this on LinkedIn, asking if this is something that actually exists or not, but smart smoke detectors, where, you know, I'll be walking a property and you hear a smoke detector battery beeping. Like, why shouldn't I be able to have a dashboard and to look in to know what the battery life is so that I could avoid situations like this? And I could also detect things when either the resident is not home, let's say there is a fire, or the battery is low and the person's not home, or it's a vacant home. So to be able to do that, and once you're making a smart smoke detector, you might as well make it a carbon dioxide detector as well. And apparently there are some people commented on the post that Nest makes a product like that, but it's not like a commercial product. It's direct to the consumer. So that type of thing is just interesting. And there's so much more on the operation side when you talk about, you know, measuring, you know, energy use and things like that, that I think would help. I think energy is a part of the business that a lot of people just don't understand. And I personally don't either. And I think tools that can help us understand better of the actual energy use and reducing energy use would reduce expenses. And that's where a place that I think a lot of people just kind of signed up with the same vendor they've always used for utility management and have no idea what's going on. And tools like that, which could help give better insights to a person who doesn't know much about energy use to improve their or reduce their expenses and overall improve their operations.
Yeah. And of course in Texas, where the radio shows come from Houston, Texas, there are certain cities in Texas or certain areas in Texas that are deregulated when it comes to electricity. So you have a lot of choices of different suppliers you can go with. And I know there are companies that specialize in helping you make that decision of which one's gonna be the best for you from a financial standpoint. And it's always something that it's a moving target. You know, in 6 months, that company you're with that was offering the best pricing may not be the best pricing in 6 months. So there's companies that monitor that for you and help you to make those decisions. And when you need to move to another provider, you can move to another provider. But that's in Texas. I don't think it's that way across the country. We've got about a minute left.
They're definitely, when it comes to those types of things, it gets complicated because every jurisdiction, you know, local, state, city will have their different laws and rules. But yeah, I think that the idea of deregulation was to empower the customer and to have more options versus these states where there's only one option and there's no control.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to stop it here for this second. We're going to be back with our third segment of this episode right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888 888- 855-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of how market conditions are forcing changes in multifamily operations. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran. He's also known as the most curious person in multifamily, Moshe Crane, the Director of Marketing and Leasing with Sage Ventures. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, don't delay, call Balanced Asset Solutions today. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Moshe, we touched a little bit on the current state in the multifamily industry regarding being able to hire people and find people to fill positions and so forth. Let's talk a little bit about the hiring process. What do you see as things have changed in the industry as what you need to be doing when you're looking to hire somebody?
Well, I think there are a lot of people who in the industry will tell you that they got into the industry by accident. And I think that says a lot about the industry. Now, it's not most people don't go to school or grow up thinking that they're going to get into multifamily property management. There are definitely a fair number of stories of those who grew up in the industry, their parents were in the industry, and then they always wanted to be in the industry. But I would say that's, you know, I'm making up this number, but less than 20% of those that work in the industry. And so many don't actually intend to get into this industry. And so I think as an industry as a whole, and you know, as each individual company, finding ways to recruit new talent so that people actually intentionally could go. It's a fantastic industry, and people can make great careers in the industry, and people have made great careers. They just didn't necessarily intend to. So I think if we could be more intentional there. Now, when you talk about creating a career in the industry and you're trying to recruit and attract talent that doesn't have experience, I think as an industry, we need to do a better job of training and educating them. And really hiring, this is a people-centric industry. No matter how much tech comes in, you know, Avalon Bay is testing out a property where there's no people, there's an on-site team. I don't think that will ever become the norm. There might be a space for that, but I don't think that that's going to be the majority of the industry. The majority of the industry for the next 20 years that I can imagine is going to be people-centric. You're going to need people to rent your space, and you're going to need people to operate the space. And the people who are renting the homes want to deal with people. Not always, but the majority, they're going to want to feel like it's hard to feel that a machine or a bot cares about your home. And that's what people care about when they choose to rent, is that, does this place care? Am I going to enjoy this? And it's hard to get that from automation, from a bot and so forth. So I do believe that people really matter in this industry, and that's not going to go away or change anytime soon. And so giving people the tools to grow. So the better you do at hiring and training, the better your team is going to be. So if you have people who are coming in on for me, leasing is the most common position that we hire for. We have the most leasing positions. And the better job we do at hiring, at leasing, and training and retention there, they're now starting to fill assistant manager positions. And then you're going to have, now it is a upside down funnel. So you're going to have more people at the base and less positions going up. And it's not for everybody. And everybody's not going to stay at your company forever. It's impossible that at the ground you have the same amount of positions on the top floor. So it does get smaller. But if people come to your company because your company has a reputation of creating talent with leasing and assistant managers, and if you know someone's there 4 years, 5 years, and they have your company has a great reputation, and now they're going to get a property management position somewhere else because you didn't have one available, that's okay. That's a good problem versus not being able to find talent because nobody wants to come to work for you, or you don't really have much that you stand for. You're just like anybody else. It's like, hey, you need somebody to fill the position. And so I think that it's super interesting to figure out how to kind of project what kind of talents will be good based on, you know, their characteristics and who they are and how coachable they are. You know, if you have the right training, you could train them. So I think that the more sophisticated we get at understanding, and people might say, oh, entry-level position, like, don't overthink it. But really, I view leasing as like the future property managers and the future regional managers for a company.
And you know, the age-old question is, where do you find these people? And, you know, I've had people on the show that say, if they at a restaurant or a hotel and they have somebody who is a great server, they'll give them the card. But is there anything new or different about the way to hire people these days, or where to find them to hire them?
So I going back to technology, I think that people can use technology for recruiting. So geofencing is becoming a more popular tool for using for marketing, for generating residents and leads for an apartment community. And that's where you can make this digital fence around certain areas. So you could circle your competitors and, you know, those that use their phone for, you know, GPS or something like that, they don't realize, but they've now given permission for Google to kind of track their movements. And then they'll determine that someone who's in this circle that we made around the competition, who, you know, five nights a week is at that location between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. will identify that person as a resident, and then they can be served an ad to attract that, like, to come to your community. And then you'll be able to track, like, because they saw the ad and they have this tracking device on their phone, when they actually come into your office, they'll be able to tell you, like, how many people came from your campaign that walked into the office. So, like, why not do that for employment as well? So you could circle, you know, retail areas. You could circle the airport. You could circle different areas and start serving ads to people who are in that category that you would want to attract talent from.
Yeah, that's a very interesting way of looking at it. Do you have you done that, or is that just an idea that you mentioned?
I tried doing it, and the vendor with the geofencing that provides the service in multifamily, at first they were interested, and then they wanted to stick to just like the way they use their now, and they didn't want to open up for recruiting, so I put that on hold. But definitely we are exploring different ways of attracting talent. I mean, we're pretty active on LinkedIn as a company, and I'm seeing a lot more people go to LinkedIn in the industry, where it seemed like almost nobody in our industry was on LinkedIn, and now there's a lot more there. So that is definitely a place. But I think that, you know, it's marketing and branding, and you got to create a reputation for your company. I mean, I could name you some companies that are based in Baltimore that I don't know much about that industry, but I know that company has a presence here, and automatically that's like, oh, that would be an interesting place to work at. Not that I'm looking to go there, but just I'm always intrigued by different companies. So I think that property management shouldn't be any different. You know, creating some awareness and branding, there's a lot of cost-effective ways to do that. I mean, most people use YouTube, so you could use YouTube pre-roll ads and target folks that way to show videos of like what your company's like and attracting talent that way.
We've got about 2 minutes left in this segment, and I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned it a couple of times, of the importance of training properly. when it comes to the success of having somebody?
Yeah. So, you know, there's parts that I love. Most of what I do, I love. Not everything. There definitely comes with some pain points. That we're a small but growing company. So because we're small, we don't have all the resources. We don't have everything in place that some larger companies might have. But I love that because it's exciting for me. It's energizing to be part of creating the process. And so, you know, we're small. We have 9 properties, 3,700 units. And we've evolved. We've created positions that didn't exist before. Like when I joined the company, my position, I'm the first one in the position. This position didn't exist. And we've created, you know, more positions. I have, you know, a regional leasing manager that I work very closely with and to really help and standardize our onboarding process to make sure that everybody gets the proper training and that, you know, not just to say that we did it, but for people to actually be successful. And we have a great system for evaluating, you know, a 30, 60, 90, how are things going? They're not supposed to be perfect in the first 30 days, but what are the things that need to be addressed? And then making sure they're being addressed. And if they're not addressed, and addressed is not like, oh, somebody's doing something bad and then we have to, you know, write them up for it. I'm just talking about like each property, you know, everything could be standard for most of what we do, but, you know, the key system could be different at different properties. So I don't know the key systems at each property. And so, you know, making sure though that everybody who starts with leasing has been trained how to use the key system, because that's pretty essential for leasing to know how to do, or how to, you know, manage the package system. And that might be different at different properties.
Right. So training is extremely important for the success of any employee, but especially in leasing. We're going to break it here because we're going to come back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of how market conditions are forcing changes in multifamily industry operations. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran. He's also known as the most curious person in multifamily. That's Moshe Crane, the Director of Marketing and Leasing with Sage Ventures. And Moshe, you know, I follow you on LinkedIn, and you have the name, and you're known for being the most curious person in multifamily. And I personally find that intriguing. And I've noticed on a lot of your posts where you're asking questions of people in the industry. And tell me a little bit about how that came about. And then let's talk about some of the things that, you've asked about and what you've learned.
So it's a self-proclaimed title. Nobody has challenged me on it yet. I've thought about changing it to possibly the most curious person, but for now I'll keep it as the most curious person. But curiosity is my superpower, and I know that might seem weird, but it's a big part that drives me. And when I came into multifamily, I never thought I would be in multifamily. I intentionally came into commercial real estate. I worked for an owner of, and I leased office and warehouse space, and it wasn't very intensive in terms of the management part. And I thought, like, wow, I wouldn't want to deal with people's homes. But I ended up here, and I truly do love it. And a lot of it has been like, okay, here they could tell me what to do and show me what to do. But I was curious to figure things out as well and question, like, why do we do this, or why do we believe this and why that? And it's really like what I do in life. Like, I'll be driving and I'll notice something and I'll be like, oh, why is this? Like, here, I'll give you an example. I've noticed lately that the Amazon trucks are getting much bigger. They're delivery trucks. So one, there's more packages, but two, like, I start to think, and then I'll explore this idea. It's like, maybe they're looking or preparing to compete with FedEx and UPS and actually become a delivery service and not just deliver their own packages. Hmm. So I start to notice things like, why is this and why is that? And then I will go down a rabbit hole sometimes and try to figure things out. This exact thing happened with us, the summer of 2020. So before you've experienced fraud in on the management side, it's really hard to wrap your head around what is renter fraud. And so we looked at some different products and it was like, do we really need this? Didn't understand it. And then this happened by accident. We were doing this program where we couldn't evict people. So we were doing a cash for keys. We would look at our high balances. We can't evict them. They're not paying rent. Let's make a deal with them to leave. And then we can re-rent that unit to someone who's going to pay. And so I was doing this project where, like, so who are you going to offer the money to first? The person with the highest balance? One might say that. But then I started thinking about that, where it's not who has the biggest balance, but which home is the most valuable. So if I have someone who's renting a one bedroom at $1,700 and they owe $10,000, and I have a three bedroom that owes me $8,000, but their rent is $2,200, that's more valuable, even though their balance is lower. So I got into this like exercise where I was doing this, and I was trying to make a case of, like, we should be more strategic about getting these homes that would be higher value to generate more revenue. And so we have this report that has, like, the top 10 balances for each property. And then all of a sudden something started to stick out to me where I was seeing these balances on that list that were recent move-ins. And I didn't understand it. And that sent me down a whole nother hole, and I was reviewing all the whole application process. And I started to see a lot of red flags and common things, like out-of-state driver's license. And, you know, I went through this whole thing and I was able to identify, like, this is fraud. And that's what fraud is. Fraud is not someone who's trying to, you know, edit their pay stubs so they get approved because they might not income qualify, but they really want to pay their rent and they're going to be a great resident. You might have that, you know, that a 1% of the time. But most of fraud is trying to get in. You don't know who they are, and they don't plan on paying their rent. And some of them plan on doing bad things, or you're renting it out to somebody else, and who knows what kind of headaches and trouble is going to come with that. And so I was able to identify, and now we were able to quantify, like, okay, here's X amount of people that I've determined that is fraud, and I made a case for each one of them, and this is the total balances. And so now we can make an educated decision, like, hey, we need something in place, and it's worth it to pay X amount of dollars to prevent these big balances. So that it's just been a driving force, like wanting to noticing something and wanting to understand it. And then, you know, I became a big audiobook guy during COVID, and that's continued. And I spend time driving from different properties, so that's a good time for me to listen. And my favorite book so far in 2022 has been by Adam Grant, called Think Again. And the whole premise is of, you know, you learn something in a textbook, you know, 5 years ago, and so then you label that as a truth, and then you don't rethink it. You don't think again about it, and that's just been a truth for you. But it might change. It might not even been truthful in the first place. And it, he gave this example of people use this saying where, you know, if you put a frog in boiling hot water, he'll jump out right away. But if he's in cold water and you slowly turn up the water, he's not going to adjust to it, and then he'll eventually die. And so I remember actually hearing it the first time and wondering if that was actually true. And so when he states it in the book, he reads it in the book, when I listen to it in the book, was that a lot of people will hear that and then just assume that that's a truth. I get the point. It's interesting, but it's actually been tested and it's not true. So you could take the lesson from it. Like, yeah, if something is changing slowly and you don't adjust, you might not realize and it's too late. But this whole idea of the frog is actually not true. And I think that there's a lot of that in multifamily operations. You know, people will say, you know, if you're above 95% occupied, that means your rents are too low. And if you're below, it means your rents are too high. Like, really, is that true? I'm seeing when our occupancy is averaging 96, 97, we're making a lot more money than when our occupancy is averaging 95. And you don't make all your money by raising rents. You make it by total revenue, and you're going to make more revenue when your occupancy is higher. I'm not advocating that you have to be 100% occupied, and things are going to vary based on the size of your property. It's very different if you have 100 units and if you have 500 units. But I think that it's been the driving force for me to continue to learn. And it energizes me, and I find myself more effective and helping make change in our company and in our operations by being curious and wanting to learn and understand more.
Well, we got about 5 minutes left. I want to reserve the last couple of minutes for you to talk a little bit about Sage Ventures, the company you work with. But for the next couple of minutes, tell us a little bit about some of the questions you've asked on LinkedIn and some of the answers you've got that may have surprised you.
There's nothing that surprises me. Well, there was one that surprised me in a second, but yeah. So I continue my curiosity in LinkedIn, where I'm not here like to state, you know, this is how it has to be done, but you know, often I'm trying to learn and like, what do other people? And then it forces me to be more thoughtful and have more conviction in my opinion, because when I do come out and say this is my opinion about something, I got to be well thought about it and think about all angles. And sometimes I haven't, and posting it will help get reaction. But a change that I made or that was made in the beginning of 2021, I was asked to be involved in all leasing hires. So we went through the whole process. And then before we would hire someone, I would have to interview them. So I always liked people. I actually wanted to be a corporate recruiter. That was my original career path. But I'm not an expert in interviewing, so I had to start figuring out, like, well, what's my approach going to be, and what's my thought process, and what are better ways to get a, you know, we already spoke about hiring. So the more I could tell about a person if this is going to be a good hire, I'd think about it as gambling, where, you know, you're dealt, you know, cards. You got pocket aces. You're willing to place a bigger bet in order to see the flop. If you have, you know, a unsuited 2 and a 10. You probably are less likely to pay more. So it's a gamble when you want to hire somebody, and how much are you willing to gamble? And what, how do you assess the cards that you're being dealt? The analogy that I use. So one of the things I was actually surprised at, I was like, okay, so we interview somebody, and now, like, I got this idea by listening to something totally out of the industry, but like, to give them a little assignment. And so I asked them, you know, in the interview, like, we'll talk about leasing. And so I said, you know, have them call another property, shop them. They don't actually go there, take 5 minutes, send me an email and tell me what, you know, what property they called and what their experience was. Like, they should grade the leasing agent that they spoke with. Yeah. And I posted about this, and like, there were some people really upset about it. Yeah. And that part was surprising to me, that they thought that this was like asking them to do way too much. And then there was others that were like, this is just an entry level job. Like, why are you requiring so much? And so I always preface it now that it's optional. Like, you're not forced to do this. But I, like, if I was looking for a job, like, I would be hungry to find ways to differentiate myself and show more value. And now I'm telling, like, giving a person a suggestion. So I was definitely surprised that so many people were upset about that idea.
Well, we're going to, I want to talk a little bit about Sage Ventures, but I just want to let our listeners know that you need to connect on LinkedIn with Moshe Crane. And because the questions he asks, because of his superpower of curiosity, I think are everybody could learn from. So I certainly recommend you do that. We got about a minute left. Moshe, tell us a little bit more about Sage Ventures and how someone could reach you if they had a question for you.
Well, reaching me is easy, is LinkedIn. Sage Ventures, we have an entrepreneurial spirit, and we're growing, and our core business is buying and managing existing apartment communities. Everything has been local so far. We're based in Baltimore, so everything's been in Maryland. We just bought something across the bridge in Virginia. We also have a construction division where we've developed townhome communities, but those were all sales. And so part of our entrepreneurship, like, we're looking to expand what we do. And so we're actually just starting a new project that's very new for us. We bought a office building that was never fully built out, never had any tenants, and we're converting it to self-storage. Mm. And then, so we just started that, and that's in Aberdeen, just north of Baltimore. And then we're going to develop the land, and it will be our first ground-up lease-up that we manage. And so it's exciting to be part of new things. It's exciting, like, for me, that's a great experience of learning more and being part of that. So I love the entrepreneurial spirit that we have. We're always looking for ways to get better, and being part of that process has been energizing and invigorating for me.
Fantastic. Well, Moshe, thanks so much for being on. We look forward to have you back on again. We will be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.